better. You know better. And third, we do it. Now, if we'd done it once, it wouldn't be too bad. But it seemed like we did it over and over and over and over. And I think of that song Matea used to sing. I do all them things, and then the devil bully rakes me over all of it. And then I go to the Lord, and he keeps patching it up and fixing it up. And I'm glad for the grace of God. In my stupidities and bad choices and bad decisions and wayward living, I'm glad that the grace of God is wonderful and faithful, and you can't beat him. You can't beat him. All right? All right, bow with me. Let's pray this morning. We'll give you some thoughts today. And I want you to pay close attention. I want you to search your own heart. There's only one person that I know for a fact here this morning is a saved, and that's me. All right? I do not know what's in your heart or in your mind. But I know that I have been born again myself. And I'm going to be preaching to everybody here, everyone on live stream, everyone that will watch later. And I want you to search your heart today to see whether or not you're in the faith. Examine yourself to see whether or not you be in the faith, to see if you're truly saved this morning. If not, you need to be saved today. Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, you are so wonderful. They sang about it. The Man of Sorrow, what a name. Oh, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. You're wonderful, and we praise you for that this morning. Lord, I'm glad that you got it all in control. I'm going to praise you when it's tough, and I'm going to praise you when it's good, because you're faithful this morning. Now, Lord, I know that I'm nothing. Lord, so often I find myself full of pride and foolishness, and God, I'm asking you to cleanse me, forgive me. I don't want nothing in my mind or heart that's be a hindrance or a hurt to you. I don't want to be a stumbling block in any way. Father, I pray that what I speak today will be what you say. And Lord, I pray that you might bless your word, that the word of God might have free course in every heart, every mind. Father, I'm asking thy sweet Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. Every one under the sound of my voice today on live stream here in the sanctuary, those who will listen later, God, I pray the Holy Spirit convicts of every sin, of every wrong thought, of every wrong deed, that we might see ourselves truthfully for what we are. And Father, I'm asking this morning that you would save those who are rebellious against you, who are lost without you. Oh God, I pray that you would save them today. And then Lord, us that are saved, Lord, we're rebellious in so many ways, so many areas. Father, I pray that we might die to self, and we might live the way you have us to live today. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this blessed book. It never changes. There's no mistakes in it. Thank you, thank you for giving it to us this morning. Help us, I pray. Please give me power as you see fit to preach. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. I ask all this. Amen. The first most important thing that we can do is trust Jesus Christ to save us. That's the first most important thing you could ever do, is to trust Jesus Christ to save you. Now, there may be many other important things you'll do, but you'll never find one more important than trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. It matters not where else you go in this world. It matters not what else you have. If you have all the money that there is, if you have all the riches, all the fame, the Bible still asks the question, Jesus speaking, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There is nothing more important than knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. You can't see past that. You come to that place and it's a wall. And until you trust Christ as your Savior, nothing else will be ever opened up in your mind or your heart until you first come come to Jesus Christ and trust Him, repent of your sins, and trust Him as your Savior. Now, we told you back a week ago now that every Sunday this month especially, which we always do some anyway, but every Sunday, the Sunday morning messages will be centered upon salvation. And then you come back tonight at 6 o'clock and we will be preaching to the church, and you need to be here on Sunday night. You need to be here this month anyway, especially tonight. You need to be here at 6 o'clock this evening. But I want you to think about salvation today. I want you to think about the need. I want you to think about your own heart. Are you saved? Are you saved? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can change. You cannot reform. You cannot quit something to be saved. You cannot reform yourself. You cannot. You may quit something for a bit, but you'll never completely quit it. You must be born again. You must be. Brother Rick said it in Sunday school again. I said again, it's not reformation that you need. It's regeneration that you need. You must be born again. Now, you say, well, I'm a good person. Well, if you give me some time alone, it'll take about 5 minutes and you'll not be the goodest person you think you are in about 5 minute conversation. It won't take but a little bit for me to show you with the Word of God that you're not what you think you are. We're all in need of a Savior. Now, I have come to Christ. He has saved me. I know that. All right. Now, I'm still in need of a Savior, not for salvation, but for everyday walk of life. I need Him every day. I need Him, as the old hymn says, I need Him every hour. I need Him every second. But I started with Him as my Savior. Now, He's still my Savior. But He's also my friend. He's also my guide. He's also my God. He's everything. He's all in all. Paul wrote to the church of Colossae and said that in Him all things consist. He's all in all. Everything that you need is wrapped up in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, the church is important. It's important to go to church. But can I tell you, the church is wrapped up in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's in Him. The Bible says that we are hid with Him in God.
Yes.
Hid with Christ in God. It's still Christ. You must have Christ in your life. You need Jesus Christ today. Now, we're going to look at Romans chapter 6 for this morning, and I want you to listen carefully. Romans chapter 6, and if you want a title this morning, I've thought of many titles. Maybe just free might be the title for this morning. We can change it. You don't care if we change. We may change it in the middle of the message. We don't care, but we want you to just think about to start with free. The reason I want you to think about being free is because if you're lost this morning, you're in bondage. You're in bondage and you need to be set free. The gospel will free you. Jesus Christ will free you this morning. You are in the prison house of Satan. You are bound by him. The strong man has you bound. And you are no more than a puppet on a string, like the old story of Pinocchio and the fella at running on the strings as he danced around. That's exactly the way Satan has you, and he runs you, he rules you, he is your king, whether you acknowledge him or not. He is your leader, whether you acknowledge him or not. He's your God, whether you acknowledge him or not. And you are run by him, and you are bound, and in the prison house, you do as you're told, you do as you're led, and you go where he says to go, and you have absolutely no freedom because of the prison house of Satan that you're in this morning. Because of sin. You're on death row. You will die in your sins. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you will die in your sins. You understand that? You will die in your sins without God, without hope, in the prison house in bondage, chained and shackled. But thank God that Jesus Christ has the key and He can free you this morning. And whom the Son has made free, He's free indeed.
Amen.
Hear me this morning. Romans chapter 6, and let's just look at just a few verses here, and we'll be going back and forth probably the whole, maybe a verse or two throughout the chapter, but we want to start in verse 20, and we'll read and then we'll preach just for a moment. Romans chapter 6 and verse 20. It says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Now that's interesting. When we were, we that are saved, when we were servants of sin, we were free, but we was free of righteousness. We didn't have no righteousness. And if you're not saved, you have no righteousness of your own. Or you have none of God. You try to go on your own right. See, we still have a problem. Men and women, boys and girls have an issue with pride so bad that they won't admit that they're bad.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's because since they was little kids, we've beat in their head they're good.
Right.
Yeah. We've told them they was good. When they do wrong, we told them we reward them. You know, we start our children out, and they do wrong, and we go buy them a bike. So we're hoping maybe that bicycle will help them do better. And when they disobey, we'll buy them candy. Maybe that'll sweeten them up, and they'll do better when we buy them candy. And we'll, you know, that's how we, instead of busting them in the store, you know, we buy them something to keep them from hollering. I mean, we're rewarding them for being bad. So when they grow up, they don't know they're bad. They're just waiting for God to reward them because they're bad. Well, let me tell you, He don't do that. He don't do that. All of us are rebellious. All of us are born in sin. The Bible said, in sin did my mother conceive me. David wasn't talking about being born out of wedlock. He was saying, when I was born, I was a sinner. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth, and there's none that seeketh after God. Nobody normally seeks after God. They seek after their leader, the devil. Huh? And we hide. Huh? The Holy Ghost of God tells us we're wrong, so we hide and do wrong. We've told you many times. If we would go back, it's rare, it probably has happened, but it's rare that when we was young, we'd smoke a cigarette, our first one in front of everybody. We grab it and go behind the barn or behind the chicken house. Or when we got our first rub of snuff, we'd run out, you know. And then everybody know we did because we puked after we took our first rub. You know. And then you know, when people take a shot of liquor or beer, they don't stand out on the middle of the street. And do it. They go hide and do it. Why do they hide it? Why is fornication in teenagers and young people? Why is it done where nobody sees? How come they don't do it? Well, nowadays they probably do it in the street anyway. But they always hide. It's because of shame. The Holy Spirit is showing them they're wrong. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But people continue because they don't think they're wrong. They don't think they're wrong. Yeah. And to an extent, we're all like that. But here it says in verse 20, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. There was no righteousness there.
Right.
Verse 21 then says this, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Now we understand that Paul's writing here to the past tense of people who were lost and they're saved now. The book of Romans is written to a church. He's written to the believer. And he's reminding them. He said, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? Ain't no saved person now proud of the life they had before. They're ashamed. In fact, no saved person will ever sit down and tell you everything that they did. Huh? They may say, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I mean that. But they're not going to go down the line because of shame. Huh? We still, everybody understand that. See, sin brings shame. Sin brings guilt. Sin brings shame. Is there pleasure in sin? The Bible says for a little while there is. There is pleasure in sin, but for a season. And then it turns on you. Huh? We know. I mean, it's been preached. We've known this. This is old stuff. This is old school stuff. We know. You know, the first liquor you drink may not bother you. It may give you a buzz. But then you get addicted. And I have witnessed this. I've watched this. I've had to gather up groceries and take the families because dad or mom had drank all the money away and it was shame them and the kids were going to do without. Yes. Drugs the same way. When it started, it wasn't for hurt. When they started, it wasn't to do no evil. But the results of it and the consequences of it. And many times, as I've told you before, many times I've carried him and I've cleaned up their puke and I've drove them home and I've fed the children. I've helped them, and so have many of you. Done the same thing. But that's not how they started. They didn't think it was going to hurt them. But it does. And they're not free. They're bound by it. Then it says here in verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. You understand that the fruit of the sin is always death. Always death. Think about that. Let's look on in verse 22. But now being made free from sin, that's when you get saved. And become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Hallelujah for that. Huh? But then verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me preach to you just a minute on free, being free. Talked about here in verse 22, being made free. Up in verse 18, it says, being then made free. Can I tell you, there's something about being free. All of us here, I believe we're all Americans. We started out our Sunday school with a pledge to the Bible and a pledge to the Christian flag. And then we said our pledge to the American flag. Now, we didn't sing the national anthem. I hadn't sung it for a few Sundays, but for months and years we've sung the national anthem, and we're proud to be in a free country. I'm glad I'm an American. Huh? I'm not glad what America is doing, but I'm glad I'm an American, and I'm glad I'm free. But I'm even more glad that I'm free from the sin of unbelief and free from the sin of judgment to hell. I'm glad that I'm saved this morning because I've placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it's talking about here, being free. Free means something. But today, it's like I told you, it's probably been 6-8 months ago, I told you about the cartoon I saw and had an old man in a tattered garments. His beard had done grown and his hair had done grown where he'd been in jail. And he'd been tortured and starved and laying in front of the cell was a set of keys to the cell and a loaf of bread. And some way he got a stick or something and he was trying to get the bread instead of the keys. And that's where we're at today. We want a little more to satisfy the flesh because of the needs that we have, instead of reaching for the keys that'll free us from the sin that we're a prisoner in. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and He is the key that'll free you this morning. But instead, we want a little, another dollar or another opportunity or something else to sin and to live like hell. Huh? That's what we want. But can I tell you, it's gonna pay a hard thing. When we think about back in verse 20, about the servants of sin, the bondage of sin, bondage of your mind. We have people today, they're lost and they have no peace in their mind. They're tormented. They're tormented every day. There's no sleep. They're constantly thinking about the wrongs and they're constantly thinking about the things that attack them and they have no peace in their mind. They're in bondage. Can I tell you, Christ brings peace. Great peace has He that loves Thy law and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. He gives a peace that passeth all understanding. He gives a peace in a time of storm. He gives a peace when there's tragedy, when you don't know where to turn, when you don't know what to do. There's a peace that's not like none other that He gives. But not in sin. In sin, it's nothing but turmoil of mind, turmoil of soul, hurt of soul. To where you actually hurt. I remember Bill Atkins, Bad Eye Bill. Everybody knows Bad Eye Bill around here at Linda's. He's done with the Lord now. Most everybody in Nicholas County knew Bad Eye Bill. And Bill would call me. I was working over at the plant over at Mount Hope. And he'd call. And they'd buzz me back in the back and say, "You got a call?" Well, that's usually danger, you know, when you're at the work and they call you. I get on the phone to be Bill. He said, "Preacher, can you get here? Can you get here now?" I said, "I'll be right there." And I'd leave a shop and I'd drive right up to Linda and Bill's house. More than once, Bill would be standing on the front porch holding his chest. And I'd pull in. I'd say, "What's going on?" He said, I'm dying. I said, "You're lost, Bill. That's what's wrong. You're lost." And he'd get down as far as his knees and weep. He said, No, I ain't going to do it. But it hurt his heart. It hurt him physically. It hurt his mind. He didn't sleep. The torment of sin in old Bad Eye Bill's life. But can I tell you, they called another time from the shop. And I rushed over to the hospital. He's back here having a heart attack. And Dr. Worth let me in and he coded and they shocked him and I had to step aside. Then they get him going and they let me talk to him and they code him and back and forth. It's back and forth. Having a continual heart attack. Nothing changed. I said, "Bill, you gotta get saved." Nah. Flew him to Charleston. And me and Linda and Kim and his boys, we followed on down there and got down there. He was in surgery. And I'll never forget the peace that I saw when me and Linda went into the recovery room of surgery. He's laying there smiling from ear to ear. And I said, "How are you?" He said, "I'm saved." He said, "Ask these nurses, ask these doctors." They stand around. He said, "Before they put me under, I told them, 'Wait a minute, I got to repent. I can't go no further. I'm miserable.'" And he did. He got wonderfully saved. But you know what the sad part was? That in 12 hours, he was in the presence of the Lord. That was good. But you know, he only enjoyed it 12 hours before a blood clot went through where they done the surgery and he died laying there in the hospital. But 12 hours from hell is where he was. Huh? But he was tormented. I mean, days I preached to him. He would come to church when I pastored Mount Lookout. He would come to church Sunday after Sunday. And I'd meet him at the door and he'd be weeping. He said, "I can't take much more of this. Okay, we'll do something. It was torment. It was torment in his mind. It was torment in his heart.
Yeah.
But then you look at you, you're unsaved this morning. You're weak. You're trying to do what you want to do. And there's something, there's always a snag. You're tripping over that stick, sticking up every time you turn around. It's sticking up in your way, and it's God trying to stop you. Because you're in bondage, you're lost. And you need Jesus Christ this morning. You need Him. You need Him. He makes a difference. The bondage of sin in mind, in heart, in will, in flesh. Can I tell you, there's people that I know for sure, I've seen it in the past, and even yet in today's time, that God will deal with them and deal with them and deal with them, and then they get meaner. Then they try something worse, and they say, well, I'll just show. What you're not showing the preacher, nothing. What you're doing is showing God. You say, God, I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it here. And you go further. And it just makes things worse and worse and worse and worse. Can I tell you this morning, it's bondage. There's no freedom in that. I got up this morning. I don't know if y'all... I was a little excited when I called you this morning. I was excited about coming to church. I was excited about... I wasn't in bondage this morning. Huh? Got up early, woke up early, went there, start reading. Wow, man, I get to go to church. Huh? No bondage in me. I'm free. But you're not free. See, you're a servant of sin. And then there's fruits of sin. But look here at verse 21. It says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? The fruit of sin is death. You understand that you're going to die. One out of one die. You know that. One out of one die. But the second death is what's bad. Now, this old body's going to quit. Huh? It may quit today. I carry a little bottle of nitro in my pocket. You know why they told me you carry it with you? You might have a heart attack. Well, I might, but you might too. You don't have no nitro in your pocket. I got some in mine. Huh? I'll share it with you. Huh? But if I fall over, don't you do CPR on me. Let me go. Huh? Now, I know y'all probably will. Some of you can't wait to. Y'all do it like this. Y'all won't do it with your hand. Listen. Listen to me. But it'll be a different death for me. For I'll go to sleep here and wake up there in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if you die lost today, to hell you will go immediately. That's where you'll go. Immediately. The Bible says that Lazarus died. And the angels took him in Abraham's bosom, but the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he asked for just a drop of water to cool his parched tongue. Just a drop. But there wasn't nothing coming because he was lost. No help. And that's the second death. Can I tell you that the fruit of sin, all the fruit of sin, it's not just death. Can I tell you, that's the end result. But can I tell you, the people that follow you. Let me tell you what's a shame. Now, I'm not wanting to make nobody feel bad. But you that's even saved, the days you was in sin, there's people that followed us. There's people that you used to stand with that ain't saved. That you helped along the way to hell. There's people that I've worked with and that I maybe not a witness like I should, and maybe a stumbling block. Can I tell you? Just help them along. This is not a game we're playing. Life ain't a game. Huh? Generational sins.
We all understand generational sins, that grandpa done this and then he passed it down and the son done it and then the grandson done it and the great grandson, and it just seemed like sin just passed right along. Huh? Grandma done this and then the daughter done this and then the granddaughter right on down. It does, it happens. Huh? It happens. We watch. We don't plan it that way. Now, I'm not trying to throw up no sin, but I don't know how to tell you, but be plain. Huh? Them generational sins, you have couples that fornicate, and here will come a baby out of fornication, not marriage. There's a good chance that the next generation will do the same. It happens. And then the next generation, and even in church. Because we don't stop it. Generational sin. It happens. I told you about the family I was raised up with. My grandpa and the boy that I graduated with, went all through school with, his grandpa, they were buddies. Papa got saved. He stayed in sin. He had a son. My daddy and him run together. All right? My daddy got saved. He stayed in sin. I come along, and me and this guy run together, and I got saved. He stayed in sin. In sin today. Talked to him here just a couple months ago. Lost. Witnessed to him here just a couple months ago. I told my buddy, Barry. Daddy told his daddy, Robert. Somewhere you got to break the chain. You got to break the chain of that bondage of sin. Are you hearing me today? And you can do right. Huh? We'll look at it here in just a moment. I want you to stay with me now. We still okay? The wages that you earn. It says here in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. You get paid for what you earn. I never did get paid for what someone else done on the job. I got paid for what I done. For the work I done. And can I tell you, it's the same way in life. You get paid for your wages. Your wages are your sin. For the wages of sin, there's wages. What is the sin we're talking about? The sin of lawlessness and rebellion against God. Huh? Foolish thinking. The violation of God's law. It's even amplified. That Jesus said, you know, the Bible said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, don't even look. Huh? Yeah. Bible teaches us to love our enemies. Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you've committed murder. The law said, thou shalt not kill. He says, if you even hate your brother, you're a murderer. Yeah. I mean, it's a narrow line. It's a narrow road. It's a narrow way. But it was a narrow cross. But there was plenteous blood that flowed down the cross to save us from our sins this morning. You hear me today? The fruits of sin. We, sins of omission and sins of commission, you know. We give them big words, but what it is we do what we've been forbidden to do, or we leave undone what we ought to be doing. Huh? We're still okay. Not doing what we should. Huh? But nobody likes rules. Nobody likes rules. Without rules, it's nothing but chaos. You know that. And because, I always tell them at youth camp, the reason we have rules is because somebody done something stupid. Do you know that? You know, if they put a warning label on a brush shredder, you know, them things they put them all that brush in, it chips it up. Do not put feet in that hole. There's warning. You know, there's warning label. You know why they done that, don't you? Because some idiot put their foot in.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody understand that? Do not drink bleach. Well, why would they put that on a bottle? Because somebody drunk bleach and it made them sick or killed them. You know? Do not eat fertilizer in the garden. Do not eat. Not for human consumption. Well, somewhere somebody's eat it. Is that not true? Rules come because of what people do foolish. Well, that's what sin does. That's what sin is. All right? God told Adam and Eve, you can have everything in the garden, but don't eat this. What'd they run and do? They had a whole world. You know, it wasn't just the Garden of Eden they lived in. You understand the whole earth had been made. It wasn't just that one little garden. You do understand that. You do understand that there was trees and mountains and everything everywhere. That just hadn't been where they was at. You understand? He placed them there. And he said, you can eat everything all over the world, but leave this one tree alone. And they had to run to that one tree. Because they don't like rules. And that's where we're at today. We don't like rules. God says, you break my law, you die. So what do? We grow up and we can't wait to break these laws. We can't wait. There's teenagers today that are planning breaking rules. They're making plans. It's on their schedule. They can't wait. When I was in school, me and Garth graduated together. And when we was in school, all year long, they planned a party at Battle Run for the graduates. After they graduated, I reckon it was the night after they graduated, and I listened to them plan. They was planning on what girl was going to be with what boy and who was bringing the liquor and who was going to do this. And they couldn't wait. And you say, well, that's awful. But we plan sin every day. Huh? We plan sin every day. Knowing it's against the rule. That's the fruits of sin. We still okay? But can I tell you, you're going to pay for your ways. Can we turn over to Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 18. I want you to listen to me. We're about done. Just hang with me here. We've been warned for 6,000 years. If I look here, you turn to Ezekiel. I'm going to read you a verse in Genesis. It said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's the fruit of sin. Adam and Eve eat of the fruit, and they started dying that day physically. And they died spiritually till Jesus killed an animal and clothed them with skin, and a blood was shed of an innocent substitute. And Adam and Eve put on them clothes that God made, and it saved them. Are you hearing me? Everybody understand what I just said? And today, we've broken the rules of God. And until we take the innocent substitute of Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on Calvary, and we accept that, then we will die eternally. Let's look here in Ezekiel chapter 18. Just to show you that God's in charge. Look at verse 4. Says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Just want you to understand that God's in charge. You may be bound, and you may be bound in sin and running, and the devil might be your God, but God still's in charge. He's got the last say. He's got the last say.
And he says, the soul that sinneth shall die. Can we drop down to verse 19? Yet say ye, why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. Neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will not turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God? God don't want you to die. God don't want you to die and go to hell. God's not in that. God wants to save you. It's not his will that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. I mean, God, look what God done. God put on a robe of flesh and come to earth in the form of his Son and died for your sins on Calvary and suffered and bled and died, was buried, rose again to save you. He don't want you to die and go to hell. He wants to save you. It says, and not, back on verse 23, and not that he should return from his ways and live. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. You ever hear that? The way of the Lord is not equal. He ain't fair. God ain't fair. He is too fair. He pays you exactly what you earn. He don't short you a penny. You sin? He said, okay, you sin, I'll pay you. Here's your wage. Here's your wage for it all. Huh? The way of the Lord, I hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions and that he has committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Now look what he requests of you. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Huh? Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. God wants you to turn. He don't want you to die. But the fruit of your sin is death. Turn over to Revelation right quick. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. You hear me this morning? You want to be free? You want to be free from the bondage of sin? You're going to have to come to Christ. The only thing that frees you is Christ. Revelation chapter 20 verse 14. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The second death. Listen, we're all going to die physically, But I'm talking to you this morning about dying spiritually, dying without God, dying without hope, dying with no righteousness of God in you this morning. You need to be saved today. You need to be saved. That's the fruit. James chapter 1 verse 15 says, and when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Huh? Death is the fruit of sin this morning. Back in Romans chapter 6. We still okay? Verse 21 says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? It was death, as all was death. Verse 22, this says, but now being made free from sin, become servants to God. You have your fruit into holiness and in everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. Can I give you just a couple of good thoughts here this morning? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I tell you that the gift of God to make you free is free. Free will make you free. Jesus Christ. He becomes sin for you. You understand that? I liked what Brother Dennis preached Wednesday night. I got several messages. I'm sure Rick and Boyd did too. Several messages off the message Wednesday. Brother Dennis Legg preached, and he said, the most purest that's ever been, the most purest that's ever been in flesh, God, who come in the flesh, put on a robe of flesh, Jesus Christ is God. He is God. The most purest, holiest, cleanest, perfect, never, not one sin. He was God. Became the filthiest one that's ever been. When he took your sin. When he took your thoughts. And he took your deeds. And he took your blasphemies. And he took your adulteries. And he took your fornications. And he took your gamblings and your thievery and your murders. And he took everything, everything. When he took it all upon himself and became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. They sung the message in that one song. Hallelujah, what a Savior sings the entire Bible. Huh? When he comes, oh glorious King. Huh? When all the ransomed home he brings. Then anew this song will sing. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Who gives us eternal life, everlasting life. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's wonderful. That's why the song in heaven is not going to be Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's not going to be the theme song of heaven. The theme song of heaven will be, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who without spot, without blemish, who died for me. That'll be the song of heaven. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And you need Jesus Christ this morning. You need set free. Huh? My chains are gone. Huh? I've been set free. You're bound this morning with sin and with shame. Won't you come, slip out of your seat and come
and kneel down to this altar and say, "Oh God, save me. I am a sinner. Save me, oh God. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior."
Right.
Call on Him to save you this morning. You need Jesus. For the wages of sin is death. Bondage. Bondage. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's stand right now. Clark, you get us a song. As we stand together, I'm not going to ask you to bow your head. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you're an unbeliever, if you're not saved, you're lost without God, I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat and come and trust Jesus. You're not coming to the preacher. You're coming to Christ. You're not coming to an altar of carpet. You're coming to Christ, and you come repenting of your sins to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm wondering, will you do that today? Will you do that? Let's sing right now, Clark, whatever you got. Let's sing right now.